What's the deal with call-in shows? Who owns the content and who is allowed to reuse the guest interviews and appearances? Hello and welcome to Legit Podcast Pro, the show that helps you navigate the legal landscape of podcasting. I'm your host, Gordon Firemark, the podcast lawyer, and today we are tackling this question from a listener about the rights surrounding call-in shows. So let's just jump right in. The water's warm and comfortable. We'll get to it right after the intro. Little glitchy there, but we're just going to go for it. So our listener writes in and says, hello, I'm curious regarding the laws surrounding copyright infringement of call-in shows. If I call one of these shows, I have signed nothing, nor verbally acknowledged, nor read a statement warning of use of my own voice or clips of my voice with the host's interactions. If the show is copyrighted material, do I have a right to edit my calls to help and show the flaws in their arguments and help make my points where they would mute me? To sum it up, the listener is asking, can he or she take the content of their call-in show appearance and create their own edited audio or video work using those clips? And there are a couple of important legal considerations here that we should break down. So first off, I just want to talk about the copyright basics. When a podcast or radio show is recorded, that full program is considered an original creative work protected by copyright law. Under Copyright Act, the U.S. Copyright Act, the producers of the show, the radio station, or the producers, if it's a network or something, they own the exclusive rights to copy, distribute, perform, and create derivative works from that copyrighted material. What that means is that even though the caller called into the show, he or she does not automatically have the right to take the show recording and edit it or repurpose. Actually, doesn't even have the right to make the recording in the first place, but certainly not to edit or repurpose it as they see fit. And if it's a podcast, you know, to download the file, that's part of how we play podcasts. Same thing. You don't have the right to do anything other than listen to or consume that podcast episode merely because you've been able to download a copy of it, even if you are a guest appearing on it. Now, there are some wrinkles to this, but courts have generally upheld this principle. In 2016, the case of Bauer versus Gannett Company, in that case, a caller to the radio show attempted to use segments of the interview, and that was found to infringe on the station's copyright, and because the station owned all of the rights in that full recorded program. Now, that raises the questions about what about the caller's rights? Don't they own something there? Well, even though the show owns the copyright, the caller still retains a certain level of rights over their own contribution. Now, in the radio world, as the listener suggests, you don't have a signed release agreement or anything like that. Now, what usually happens is there's a call screener or someone answering the phone, and they do say, we'll get you on the air in a few minutes, stick around. And that's sort of a tacit consent to appearing on the air. And so that's the one component here. But the caller does still retain certain rights. By calling into the show, the caller is giving them a limited permission, consent to use their voice and statements within the program. But they own the right to their own ideas. So in theory, the caller could create a new work commenting on and critiquing the show using their recollection of the events, but taking the show's actual recorded clips is probably not going to pass as a valid use of the material. That's going to be copyright infringement. There are other cases, Harper and Row Publishers versus Nation Enterprises, in which the Supreme Court set a very high bar for what constitutes fair use of copyrighted material. Now, there's another issue here, and that is that the argument can be made that the caller, by agreeing to participate in creating the episode, or if it's a podcast recording, this is where the episode creation could be viewed as joint work by the producer of the show and the caller, because it's prearranged and stuff like that. It's not just a happenstance person was listening and decided to call in that day. So it's possible that we could call it a joint work. And that's why I'm so adamant that podcast hosts really do need to use guest release forms of some sort, getting the consent and acknowledging that it's not a joint work, that the producers own the podcast episode and that there's no right to do anything other than appear on the show. So, but there's also the caller's privacy and publicity rights. That's the consent. When you call into the radio show and they give you that, hey, thanks for being here, we're going to get you on in a few minutes, you are implicitly, by staying on the line, you're consenting to be recorded and broadcast. But in the podcast space, it's a little different because that consent is, well, as I said, there's this joint authorship kind of argument. So we want something in writing that clearly and explicitly states, I understand I'm going to be recorded. That's okay. You can use it. That's okay. I'm not going to be an owner of anything, and I'm okay with that, even though you're not paying me, something along those lines. And my free podcast guest release, if you go to podcastrelease.com, you can get a free copy of that, does this job really, really well. Now, one other thing, though, that needs to come into here is, as we're talking about this copyright law side of it, the doctrine of fair use, the defense, is sort of an exception in copyright law. And what it says is that in some cases, you can use a portion of a copyrighted work without permission if it's for the purpose of commentary, criticism, news reporting, teaching, research, those kinds of things. It's a First Amendment freedom of speech argument. But again, as I said, the bar for that kind of fair use is really quite high, as demonstrated in the cases I mentioned earlier, as well as the sort of landmark fair use case, Campbell versus Acuff Rose, Inc., in which the Supreme Court established the four-factor test to determine whether a use is fair use or not. The purpose and character of the use is the first of those elements. The nature of the copyrighted work, the amount and substantiality of the portion used, and the effect of the use upon the potential market for the original. Simply editing the call-in show clips so you can critique the arguments, probably not going to fly because it's just another audio presentation of the content. Here the amount taken and the effect of on the potential market might be pretty high and weigh against a fair use finding. Now, more recently in 2022, the Supreme Court revisited the fair use case. They went to deal with the case of Warhol Foundation versus Goldsmith. In that case, they looked more closely at the first factor, and they determined that when Andy Warhol made his image of the musical artist Prince using Goldsmith's photograph as a reference. Now, originally when he did that, it was under a license through Vanity Fair magazine that asked Goldsmith for permission to let Warhol make one as a cover for a 1984 edition of Vanity Fair. But when in 2016 Prince passed away and Vanity Fair went back to the Warhol estate, it turned out there were 15 other versions of that image that were used, that were available, and they selected one of those and used it. Goldsmith said, hey, wait a minute, that goes beyond the scope of what I authorized back in 1984. And she sued, and it went back and forth and back and forth. Ultimately, the Supreme Court of the United States ruling that that use was not sufficiently transformative of the original to be a different in its inherent purpose and character, and therefore had a significant impact on the market and so on and so forth. Both of these images were meant for magazine covers. So Supreme Court ruled that the Warhol image being used was not fair use and amounted to infringement. So back to our situation with the caller. Yes, the caller retains certain rights, but they really can't just take the show's copyrighted recording and edit or reuse it as they see fit. And they certainly can't just republish it as their own. Or I've seen guests on shows take the recording and cut out the host and just use their quotes, really just for promotional purposes. That's not going to fly. That's definitely copyright infringement. So there are limits on copyright and the caller's publicity rights. And that's the way it goes. So if you're a caller calling into a radio show, they're allowed to broadcast your voice. And what they can do with it after that is pretty limited. But you, the caller, don't get to claim any particular rights in that material unless it satisfies that fair use. So maybe a tiny little short clip will work or something. In the podcasting space, this is a different medium. Things operate differently in podcasting. And so I think that we really do need to get those consents in writing wherever possible. So as I said before, come on over to podcastrelease.com and check out our free guest release and put it to use. So thank you for listening to this episode of the Legit Podcast Pro podcast. Be sure to like, subscribe, hit that notification bell so you don't miss out on any future episodes. And hey, don't forget to join me next week as we dive into another important legal topic for podcasters and content creators. In the meantime, you can also sign up for my free workshop over at event.podcastlaw.net. That next workshop is coming up very soon, and I would hope you can join me to learn all about the biggest mistakes that podcasters are making that hold them back from profit and growth, and the things to do instead, the fundamental things you should get done in order to avoid those mistakes. So once again, see you next time on Legit Podcast Pro. Thanks for being with me.